Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:50 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 21st. Of course, it being Good Friday, most markets were closed today, but I thought I should record the audio because yesterday I had recorded it really quite early. That was as a result of having to get Mrs. Tracy to the hospital to get some bloods done. And having stayed the night there, our baby was born this morning at 11:50, and she was 9 pounds 5 ounces, which is a substantial child, particularly in view of the fact that Mrs. Tracy is really quite petite. But getting back to the markets, there were a couple of markets open today. I suppose of note, the Nikkei and the Shanghai A shares both appreciated today. In fact, the A shares rallied well off their lows yesterday. So definitely finding some at least short-term support in there. So potential for at least a short-term rally in that market. And you have the Nikkei pushing back into the lower side of that range that we've seen over the last month. So potentially a failed breakdown there. And given the fact that it had broken it down on the weekly chart, it does look like a failed breakout. We can probably anticipate that it's going to go back up and test the lower side of the range or the upper side of that range. And that is something that we can probably anticipate for a number of markets, although we've seen a number of the European markets breaking below those January lows. There is every potential for them to rally back up over the coming weeks, particularly if we see Wall Street doing that. And since we saw such a good close on Wall Street yesterday, heading into the Easter break, and there seems to be a growing opinion on in the markets that money flowing out of commodities, and there is certainly a lot of money flowing out of commodities right now, could very well find its way into the equity markets. There is also those tips charts that I posted over the last couple of weeks, where we had the 5-year tip yield going below 0%. Well, that had a big downward move on what day is today? Friday. So on Wednesday, that pushed back above 0% on the yield and indicates that that momentum trade could well be ending. There's a lot of money has poured into tips as a hedge against the inflationary fears that have been related to the surge in commodity prices, but also into treasuries generally as a safe haven for cash. Well, if those inflationary pressures or the fear of inflation is being mitigated somewhat by the fall in commodity prices, and if we see the tips prices coming down, there is the possibility that we are going to see increased funds coming into the equity markets. And of course, we have seen Wall Street firming up around these January lows. The Dow certainly hasn't broken down, has firmed up considerably. Now, of course, it would all bets would be off if we did see Wall Street falling below those January lows and sustaining them, because that would indicate that there's potential for a further down leg. But looking at all of the different indicators, particularly those sentiment indicators, which are so important in markets right now because of the cacophony of bearishness out there. And we see so many of those indicators giving us extremely oversold readings. That one I posted, the breath indicator on Thursday at a low that hasn't been seen since 2003 and 1997. The investors' intelligence sentiment indicator, the fact that we've got the biggest short interest on Wall Street since the 29 crash, and there are a good many more. There was an Economist front page sent to me on Thursday, which I didn't get a chance to post, but it shows Wall Street with a wall and a big crack down the middle. And while that's probably not the worst one I've seen, it certainly indicates where sentiment is and the way the market is reacting to the news that continues to come out. And of course, there is the fact that there is a certain element of model myopia out there, and credit default swaps seem to be how the market is pricing in or pricing credits right now, which I think is a flawed strategy because people tend to buy more insurance when they think that the risk of their house burning down is greater. And you can't value somebody's house based upon what the likelihood is it of burning down? And I think it's the same way with so many of the credits out there. Of course, there are plenty of companies which are at a real risk of going to the wall, but there are plenty, and I would say the vast majority of companies which are having difficulty raising capital are certainly not at risk of defaulting on those loans. And while the liquidity crisis is very real, the ability of these companies to pay back any loans that are made to them is, I think, without doubt, rather than the way the insurance on their default risk is being hedged at the moment. I think it will take time before investors, particularly, come to this realization. There is a lot of value out there in the credit markets in here today. I think that while in past crises we've had excellent buying opportunities in the equity markets, and that is certainly the case, I think now the biggest bargains in this particular crisis are going to be in the credit markets. And investors who are astute and are plugged into that market are going to do very well over the coming years because there are so many of these credits are priced ridiculously. We've seen a number of bank shares accelerating downwards. Anglo-Irish in Ireland, HBOS in the US, a number of US banks, UBS in Switzerland, and I think every country has certainly got an example of at least one bank that has accelerated on the downside, and there are a number in Australia as well. But if we stand back and look at this from a non-emotional view and appreciate the markets from an analytical standpoint, are we really in a situation where where we believe that these banks are going to go to the wall? Because if we ask ourselves that question and we come up with an answer that is no, then these banks are looking dirt cheap in here at the moment. Given the fact that they have accelerated downwards, there probably isn't the support there right now to support anything more than a technical rally, which will probably be followed by some significant base building. The business models for a number of these banks has been broken, and it will take them a while to get back on their feet and come up with the next big thing that they'll be able to sell to punters. But it does point towards an environment where if someone wants to build a position, this will be a baby steps type scenario. You can find the baby steps article in the forum, and if you just go to the search engine on the site and just tick the search box and untick everything else and just put in baby steps, you'll find that article very quickly. And it's a range trading environment for which this was really developed. It's a swing trading strategy, so you trade well within your capital and you slowly build a position within the anticipation that it will eventually break upwards, but that there's going to be plenty of volatility. So you average your price down and you nibble at the price as it falls, and you continue to nibble as it falls, and as it rallies past your average price, you begin to let out some of the position, maintaining a core position but harvesting the volatility. That will allow you to hold a core position in the vehicle, harvest the volatility, and you will have a position when it eventually breaks upwards. It is very difficult to predict, probably impossible to predict, how long the convalescence for many of these markets is going to be, particularly the ones that are extremely heavily weighted in finance or in financials. But a baby steps tactic will allow investors to be there when they do eventually break upwards. We can also anticipate that a number of these banks are going to cut their dividends. So while their yields are mouth-watering at the moment, that is probably not going to be the case 6 months or a year from now. But the stock or the price will probably be performing significantly better then than it is now. Of course, that is all based on the assumption that they do not go out of business. And given the fact that we're starting to see regulators, particularly in the UK and now in Ireland as well, and I can assume that we're going to see something similar in a number of other markets, but they're starting to investigate rumors that are being spread falsely about a number of banks. And if these are true allegations, then we will see a short covering rally that will be quite impressive in a number of these financial shares. That is certainly something to be aware of. Given the fact that so many markets are quite oversold, we could at least see a short covering rally over the coming weeks. The big question is whether the equity markets are going to be able to sustain moves above their February highs. And if they do that, then we'll be able to say with a great degree of confidence that this correction is in its latter stages. But right now we're seeing Wall Street finding support at the lower side of its range and starting to rally upwards. There's a good chance that we're going to see that market push back up towards the upper side of its range at least, at which case traders will probably start to lighten their positions as we approach those highs. It will probably take a fundamental to really push this market up above those highs and sustain the break. The sell-off in commodities is extremely broad-based, and we saw soybeans limit down, corn was almost limit down, it was 19 and three quarters at the close down. We saw gold selling off by $25, and it's down over $100 in the last week. Oil is back above $100, just barely, but it's lost $10, a big downward dynamic, and this does look like the beginning of a medium-term correction for a large number of these commodities. Obviously, the commodities that have accelerated on the upside and have performed best are going to be the ones that are going to fall fastest. And indeed, we've seen platinum, which was the leader on the upside in the precious metals sector, also led on the downside, and it's down in excess of $300 at this point from its highs. And in the past, following these accelerations, we have seen these precious metals entering medium-term corrections where we see a big fall, it rallies up a bit, and then it goes ranging in a volatile type environment, which is also a baby steps environment. And there is a likelihood that we could see a commodity like platinum ranging for anything up to a year. It's done that twice in the last 5 years, and there's potential for it to do it again in the coming year. This has been a phenomenal acceleration, and it will need time to draw breath and attract investors back once more following this really quite abrupt fall. And I think it's probably a similar story with silver. Silver down below $17, having traded up to almost $22 quite recently. So that's really quite a dramatic fall, and it will take time before this market can convalesce and build enough of support that it can generate another big uptrend. And I have little doubt that it will be able to do that. But in the meantime, we can expect sentiment to turn against the precious metals sector. And while it has been viewed as a fantastic investment and a hedge against inflation, and a number of bullish arguments have been proposed why precious metals are an asset class all on their own, and that people should have at least a significant percentage of their portfolio in precious metals, that opinion is going to wane as these markets move into a medium-term correction. And we will start to see reports touting the end of the commodities super cycle, that it was only a flash in the pan. Given the fact that so many of these markets have accelerated, we can expect them to correct and move into medium-term corrections and range for a significant amount of time. And of course, the difference between supply and demand will be a big determinant on how much they're going to range. Given that the agricultural commodities have soared on the back of a supply deficit, could mitigate the amount of time that they spend ranging and correcting. But the charts will certainly tell us, and I think it is very wise to look at each chart individually, or each commodity individually, while also being aware of the commonality between the various parts of the commodity sector generally. So that is something to certainly be aware of. Bonds are quite oversold. We've seen tips starting to fall back. You haven't seen that yet in the treasuries, but they are really quite expensive up here right now. And I think it's only a matter of time before they start to pull backwards. I think We have seen at least a short-term rally or a short-term bottom for the dollar. It was quite oversold. We're getting a good short covering rally in here right now. And this is significant because it mitigates some of the pressures on some of those European economies, particularly, and Japan certainly will be happy that the yen isn't strengthening quite as fast. But there's no evidence yet that the dollar has bottomed in capital letters, that we've seen the bottom or the end of this decline. The dollar has classically taken a long time to bottom out, and I don't think this scenario is going to be any different, and we probably won't be able to say that it has bottomed entirely until we see multilateral intervention in favor of the dollar, and I don't think we're there just yet. But with that, I will leave you for the weekend, and I'm back in action on Tuesday. David will return on Wednesday, but thank you very much for your time, and have a great Easter.